Welcome to the Frequency 49 Show. I'm your host, Simon Holdsworth, and joining me this week are Paul Marsh, Michael Wandrei, and our special guest, the president of Niner Empire Austria, Lukas Pesendorfer. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Simon.
Hello.
So week 15, and the 49ers went into Arizona to take on the Cardinals, knowing a win would seal the NFC West and solidify their claim for the number one seed in the NFC. Despite giving up 234 rushing yards to the Cards' vaunted rushing attack, another dominant showing from Messrs. Purdy, McCaffrey and Samuel saw the Niners continue their winning streak with a pounding 45-29 win. Guys, a dub is a dub at this stage of the season, right?
Yeah, but if we allow that much rushing yards against the Ravens, we will definitely lose the game because the Ravens are another animal.
Yeah, definitely, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You're right, a win is definitely a win, especially with other results going our way, solidifying our spot at number one in the NFC. But yeah, with their running attack, we've got to be careful that we don't allow a repeat. I suppose a big contributor to that, though, is obviously the injuries. We'll have to see whether or not Hargraves or Armstead are back, or I think even Khalil Davis is out, who was one of the backups who would have played the other day. He's out for a couple of weeks, I think, maybe. So we've obviously got a lot of injuries on the inside of the defensive line, which is, we're going to struggle if we don't get some of those people back next week or this week.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to start with this, and I'm glad we've kind of touched on that, is that we were definitely missing those two guys right in the, in the heart of that defensive line. I thought Javon Kinlaw had his best game for a hell of a long while. But what was also noticeable was the amount of missed tackles that we had.
Oh, yeah, terrible. A lot of missed tackles.
For me, Warner and Greenlaw were the main protagonists of that, which you very, very, very rarely see. So hopefully it's just one of those games and we managed to get away with it. How did you see it, Lukas?
Yeah, I mean, Fred Warner's worst game maybe in his career. Definitely what I can remember. I mean, the circumstances weren't really good. I mean, with the defensive tackles, you saw the Cardinals dominating the line of scrimmage. They were pushing our defensive line like 3 or 4 yards down the field. They were occupying the linebackers. They couldn't get to the ball carrier. And if they could get there, they missed the tackles. And it wasn't only Warner, Greenlaw. It was also a lot of secondary people missing tackles. It was just the fundamentals general. It reminded me a lot of the beginning of the season before the bye week. Some stuff to clean up, definitely, but I think if Hargrave and Armstead are coming back, we are fine. And maybe it's also a good thing that this happened for the team. Maybe they go out and get another guy from the street. I mean, Adomican Sue is a guy somebody mentioned in, and a lot of people mentioned they were already asking Kyle Shanahan about it, and he said they didn't consider it, but maybe they will. And they considered it last season. He was choosing between the Eagles and the 49ers, and maybe they will get him. I mean, Khalil Davis is out, so they have to get somebody.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, whilst there were missed tackles, there were some high spots on the defense as well. We spoke about it last week, who on the defensive side of the ball and offensive side of the ball were potentially playing at, Pro Bowl / All Pro level. I think Chavarius Ward perhaps cemented his Pro Bowl status and maybe All Pro with those two picks. I mean, the first one in particular was an unbelievable play, the way he broke on that ball, wasn't it?
For me, yeah, definitely. It was key because obviously they started quite hot, didn't they, with the scoring on their first drive. I know that we then reciprocated, but it felt like it might be like a bit of a, ding dong of, you know, with each team being, and obviously that pick six kind of completely flipped around where they were going ahead, and then we had to follow that pick six, completely switched that around to give us the lead over them, and obviously knowing that we were then going to get the ball in the second half for the first possession, it was actually quite a significant moment, I thought, in ensuring that it didn't become this like us always chasing them, you know, if they were going to, you know, obviously keep putting points on the board.
Yeah, definitely. Michael, have you got anything to add on that one?
Sorry, my microphone doesn't want to unmute.
That's right.
So I lost the thought I had. I think we definitely have to clean up some things because we are getting closer to the playoffs. And I mean, Drake Greenlaw said it. He doesn't want any more of this winning the West t-shirts if it doesn't bring a title in the end. So I think for that, the defense has to clean up some things. Yeah, the defense and the offense are strong this season, but mostly it's either the one side clicks, the offense clicks, or the defense clicks, and maybe we need both to click for four quarters in the playoffs, and it doesn't get easier.
Well, that kind of leads us on to having a look at the offense. I mean, the offense is purring, isn't it, at the moment? You know, Purdy again was solid, 16 of 25, 242 yards, and only the four touchdowns this week. Christian McCaffrey, who, Michael, last week you said he would be your choice for the MVP, was probably the difference maker. You know, 115 yards on 18 carries at an average of 6.39. The running touchdown, but 72 yards in the air as well with the two touchdowns. He's most people, anybody who's not a quarterback seems to fancy Christian McCaffrey for the MVP. And he's just played. We're lucky to have him. That trade, the C-minus grade that trade got, just looks utterly stupid now, doesn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of young viewers of the NFL all think the MVP is only a quarterback title. But it isn't. It's the most valuable player for a team. And I think in our case, that's not Brock Purdy. He is very important for the offense. Don't let them take from him. But I think the most valuable player for our team is Christian McCaffrey. And he should be the most valuable player for the NFL because since he came, the offense got even better. Yeah, I heard some people saying, yeah, you saw in the NFC Championship that Brock Purdy is more important for us than
that was Christian, my argument.
Than Christian, yeah, you too. But I also saw some Americans saying that. But I think he is so important for him. And during the 3 weeks he was injured, you saw a drop in the offense, even with Brock Purdy. And I think both are important, but you can only crown one MVP. And as Brock should be the first in the comeback player of the year race, I think Christian should have a real shot for MVP. I mean, both of them are in the front running for MVP, which could be a problem in the end because they split votes. So in the end, it could be someone completely different who gets all the votes they have to split for one team.
I personally think that Brock Purdy will get the MVP. He's odds on now, and Christian McCaffrey will get Offensive Player of the Year. I think that's the way they'll do it, just to appease a lot, quite a lot of people.
You know, like the story is a good story. It was a great story last year with him obviously coming on and doing well. And then if we cap it off this year with him getting, MVP and potentially us winning a Super Bowl, you know, people have got like, you know, the films that will be made, the documentaries that will be made, all of the, you know, the narrative is one that is that's so appealing to people. I think Brock will definitely get it, even if there is a very clear argument, and I agree there is a very clear argument for McCaffrey. I still think Purdy gets it.
I think in the end, the feel-good story may be the one thing that speaks for Brock. I mean, he plays very good, and he has this feel-good story from Mr. Irrelevant to MVP. I mean, that's something the NFL can capitalize on.
Yeah. I think someone mentioned it in the group about Kurt Warner, who was undrafted, wasn't it? Who went on to win a Super Bowl. But I think you're right. The way that Brock Purdy got to the championship game last season and had to then overcome what is a fairly serious injury for a quarterback to get, you know.
Yeah, it has all of the elements, doesn't it? Because the other thing as well is that whole Mr. Irrelevant title is something that Kurt Warner, he went undrafted. But again, there's this whole idea of him, just the Mr. Irrelevant title adds a little bit more to the story. His obviously his injury. I just feel like, people want that narrative to come true. Which is why I think, I say ultimately, even if there's a really strong rationale for McCaffrey to get the award, it's ultimately going to go in Brock's favour.
Yeah, I think so. I also, on Sunday, maybe for the first time ever, saw a touchdown in the NFL that I probably could have scored, which was the one where Deebo Samuel was so wide open. All he had to do was catch the ball and walk it in. I mean, Shanahan is a genius at calling plays, but how on earth did he end up so open?
I think Lucas could say something about that MVP race, because Lucas wrote a very good article about Brock Purdy for the Niner Empire Germany, where he debunked all the critics' points why Brock Purdy isn't a good quarterback. Maybe Lucas can add something to the topic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go ahead, Lucas.
I mean, I'm so sick of the MVP debate, honestly, on Twitter. I just want this stupid ring, and I don't care if who gets MVP, if it's somebody else. If we win the Super Bowl, I mean, that's the only thing that matters, isn't it?
I think to us fans, absolutely. More,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if he wins MVP, and we don't win a ring.
Would trade any number of MVP awards for one Super Bowl ring. I mean, there's no question in my mind that, you know, they'd all give any of those awards up if it meant that they could be, you know, guaranteed to get the Super Bowl.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
I mean, and on the Deebo touchdown, I was looking on YouTube a film breakdown from Brock Purdy, and somebody pointed out that they ran the exact same formation against the Cardinals in the red zone. They ran outside zone, and Deebo went in motion, and nobody went with him. So they knew he would be wide open, and they did it, and he was wide open. So, I mean, props to Kyle Shanahan to seeing that. I mean, it was a run play. And he focuses on every single detail, and that's just insane. I mean,
and that's the thing with having so many weapons as well, isn't it? The defense has got that many people. I was listening to, it might have been George Kittle on the Rich Eisen show, maybe, or Fred Warner was on the Pat McAfee show. There was one or the other. I watched them both this week, and they were saying that having Christian McCaffrey in the team means that the defenses have to play an extra linebacker because he's that good at hitting the gaps, which obviously means that they're kind of like, they can't really go to a lot of packages where they have a lot of defensive backs because the defensive backs aren't strong enough to stop him. I thought that was really interesting when you look at the schematic side of things, is that having that one guy, you know, alters the way a defensive coordinator has to think or has to come up against the 49ers.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be really interesting because the Ravens have like two of the best linebackers in the game with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith. Maybe they can find a way to keep two linebackers in the game, get maybe Kyle Hamilton in the slot, and then try to stop the running game. That's going to be a really nice chess match, I think.
Which kind of leads us on perfectly, Lucas, so you can definitely come on the show again, to the to the game on Tuesday morning, slash Boxing Day morning here in the UK, and even sort of further into Boxing Day in Central Europe, in what is regarded to be a dress rehearsal for the Super Bowl by some analysts, if not just because of the colours on the Super Bowl logo this year. If you're if you're into that kind of thing, and you read all the memes, but I mean the Ravens are very, very similar to San Francisco, I think, in the way that they play, very much a run first. As you touched on, Lucas, they've got probably the second best linebacking duo in the league behind Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and it's close because they are very, very, very good. They rank fifth on offense; we rank second. They rank second on defense, and we're ninth. The one big thing where you might find is that their pass defense is only 20th, so they can be attacked in the air. We're second in passing. And also they're the best running attack in the league.
We're just 12th.
Yeah. I think it's all going to come down to us being able to stop their run and them being able to stop our passing in terms of, you know, how it pans out in my mind. Because obviously presumably what people would class as the two best teams in certainly by form and whatnot at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. And I just think we're super lucky that because of the way the results have gone, even if we lose, if we win out, we've still got an excellent chance of maintaining first place, you know, in the NFC rankings.
Do we not think it's important that we lay a marker down here, though?
Oh, totally. Because, I mean, if we want to win the Super Bowl, we should be able to beat the Ravens, undoubtedly. I think if we're going to win the Super Bowl, ultimately, we've got even more chance if we're number one seed, we get the bye week, we play at home, and to get us into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's sort of a good backup to have that, you know, if we do lose, that we still have a strong chance of maintaining that. But like you say, I mean, the last thing I'd want is us to get absolutely hammered, and because what's it going to do to confidence if we, you know, if we don't look like we can beat them? Do you know what I mean? We should be able to if we want to win this thing.
Has anyone seen the Manning cast on Monday night? I watched it because I wanted to see the Eagles lose.
McCaffrey was on it, wasn't it?
McCaffrey was on it, and he was asked by Peyton Manning what helps him to be such a good running back in San Francisco, and he couldn't say Trent Williams. And then Christian said it's the whole blocking downfield, Kittle, Juice, and the wide receivers. And he even named Juwan Jennings as the best blocking wide receiver in the league. And he said that is what helps him, not only the offense line, and every running back needs the offense line, but it's for the 49ers, it's that blocking downfield that even the wide receivers are not going back from blocking a cornerback or so, where many teams struggle, where the wide receiver don't set a good block or so, and that's one of the strengths for the 49ers.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we've kind of cut. I mean, there isn't another player in the NFL like Lamar Jackson. There just isn't. But I think the closest that you'd get to him would probably be Jalen Hurts, maybe. And we dealt with him pretty well, didn't we? I mean, we put Fred Warner on him as a spy. He didn't use his legs, and we forced him to play against us and try and beat us with his arm, which obviously didn't materialize. Do we think it's going to be a fairly similar kind of tactic from Steve Wilkes to combat the Ravens' offense?
I mean, you have to keep him in the pocket. You have to contain his scrambles. But I think Lamar Jackson is a way better passer than Jalen Hurts. He sees the field clearly better, and he doesn't always go for the big play like Jalen Hurts is, in my mind. And he's a better athlete than Jalen Hurts, so it's going to be really, really tough. They have a great scheme. They have a great offensive coordinator. They have great weapons, a good offensive line, so it's going to be really, really tough. And maybe Steve Wilkes can I don't know. Maybe we weren't blitzing that much against Hurts, and if we did it, he hurt us. And maybe it's a tactic to like blitz Lamar Jackson a little bit, force him to one side, maybe to the left or something, and just change up looks from Steve Wilkes. I mean, it's going to be really, really tough, and it's going to be really important that they don't go ahead and can run the football, because if we have to play catch up, then we're in trouble against them.
Yeah, I think the narrative is stop Lamar, stop Baltimore, isn't it? I mean, and like you say, it's we're going to have to give him some different looks, because if we become predictable on defense, he will. But their offensive coordinator and Lamar will cause us significant issues, I think.
I think it was encouraging, though, how we, you know, because obviously going back historically, you know, we've been absolutely abysmal at stopping mobile quarterbacks. I mean, and not just for a season or two, but like for quite some time. And obviously the way that we played that Eagles game was encouraging. And I know it was a little disappointing against the Cardinals with Kyler Murray and their rushing attack. With some slightly mitigating circumstances. So it's going to be even more of an uphill task if we do maintain some injuries and don't potentially bring anybody in. But yeah, if we can, it's certainly going to be a test. The Eagles' performance and potentially the fact that we might get some of those injured players back would hopefully give some encouragement.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that we had problem with Kyler. I think in that regard we beat ourselves again. I mean, the tackling was abysmal. And when you already have two hands on the quarterback or on the running back and he still slips out of it, there's something fundamentally wrong with your tackling. And it was so embarrassing. I mean, I thought I watched a GFL game sometimes in that game when I watched at the tackling. And then there were times where the tacklings were precise. And that's what I meant at the beginning. We need against teams like the Ravens or later in the playoffs, we need the defense not to have some shiny moments, because we need them to have 30 shiny moments, or how long they are on the field. That's where we need them, and not some shiny moments where you have that showstopper tackle. That is on Wilkes. The sometimes the discipline that lacks is on Wilkes. And I hope he cleans it up. Otherwise, we may look like the best team in the regular season, but it could kill us in the postseason.
Yeah, but I think the run defense was also part of the defensive tackles not being there. I mean, they were pushed around in the interior, and that's why the missed tackles came. I don't want to defend anybody of Fred Warner and the other guys, but the defensive interior was horrible on Sunday. And if they get pushed around like that, the first guy touching the running back is like 4 yards downfield, and then it doesn't matter if he gets the tackle, they will always get the new first down.
Yeah, true. I mean,
yeah, it's all part of the puzzle, isn't it? They're all interlinked, I think. I think it's all interconnected. Like the bad tackling was as a result of, as you say, the poor interior D-line play, and they're just going to do better. They're going to if they want to win on Tuesday morning, they're going to have to do better. Simple as whoever's playing, they're going to have to be better than that for sure.
Mm. Well, before Sunday, we were the best rush defense in the league, I think, and that's credit to Hargrave and to Armstead, who you kind of look at the tangibles of an interior defensive lineman or any kind of defensive lineman. It tends to be the sacks is the only really column that you look at, but they do plug those gaps. And like you rightly say, Lucas, they might not get the total tackle, but if they slow down the running back, he's not at full tilt when he gets to Warner and Greenlaw, and they can come in and hit them and drive them backwards, perhaps, or stop them dead in their tracks. But they were definitely missed, and I'm kind of hoping. I know they said that Hargrave was day-to-day last week, and I think they may have rested him, you know, for this week. I think they understand that they're coming up against the league's top rushing offence, and they need all their big guys, particularly on that defensive line, to be 100%. So maybe they just held them back a little bit for this week. Who knows?
But I have a question to all three of you.
Of course.
Undisputed, Keyshawn Johnson said in this game, we will see the regular season MVP, either McCaffrey or Purdy or Lamar on the other side. Do you think the same, or do you think there are other still in the race MVP candidates in the other games?
No, I think those are the main candidates for me.
Yeah,
I think most of the other teams. I mean, people keep talking about Dak, but I don't even know why they. I mean, he's got to be out of the conversation now, surely. Dak Prescott. I don't even know why he was in it to begin with.
I mean, you know, Jack. You look at Jackson's stats; they're not jump out. You know, they don't really jump out at you, but he's just. If he's on it, he can beat anybody. And that's the thing with Lamar Jackson. If he's really, really in the groove and in the zone, like you said, Lucas, he's got a better arm than a lot of people give him credit for. But if you allow him to run on you, he is a cheat code, as and when he gets going downfield. And, you know, we need to make sure that we keep him well under wraps, because he can win a game on his own. You know, if we can cover the tight end. Is Mark Andrews back yet? Is he still out?
No.
That's a big miss for them, because he's an unbelievable talent at tight end, and he's very, very productive. So that helps. And they've not got that bigger names at wide receiver, have they? They got rid of Hollywood Brown, I think. They've got a couple of – they had a young rookie, I think, who's done really well. But
Say Flowers, OBJ, Rashad Bateman,
and
Isaiah Likely, the tight end.
Of course, OBJ, yeah. I forgot he'd gone there.
They have
Mark
sneaky
Andrews.
Good skill players.
Yeah.
Isn't Mark Andrews a tight end?
Yeah, Mark Andrews is injured. Tight end, but he's injured, isn't he?
Yeah. He is will he only be this, back for the Super
season,
Bowl.
Lucas?
Super Bowl, he would be back for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh, really? Wow. Okay.
I hope the game doesn't come down to a field goal, because... sorry, but the Ravens have the best kicker in the league.
They do.
By far.
I kind of almost wish, though, that it would come down to Jake Moody kicking a field goal.
Yeah, then it's okay, but not the other way around.
Yeah, not the other way around. But I really would quite like him to be under that pressure. You know, obviously, because the last time, what was it? Was it the Bengals or the Browns or whoever it was, where we went on and
Browns,
obviously we missed... Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs or the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. I'd really like him to be put in that position again, and hopefully, you know, be able to banish the demon rather than make it worse and miss a game. But you know what I mean? He's got to be put under those kind of pressure situations, and I'd really quite like it to happen in the next few games before the playoffs, just so that he can. Feel some of that pressure again and step up, hopefully.
It's a good job Deepak isn't on the show tonight, because he would be saying absolutely not. He has little or no confidence in Jake Moody. While I mentioned his name, happy birthday, Deepak.
Yes, happy birthday.
21 again,
happy birthday,
I believe.
Deepak.
So, let's hope that the Niners can give him a perfect birthday present and with a win over the Ravens. It's going to be tough. It's going to be brutal. But it will be. I'll probably be watching it through one eye, given it's Christmas Day night.
Yeah, I'm not good at these kind of high pressure. I'm kind of always watching like through split fingers, because it's just going to be tense, isn't it? It's not going to be.
Well, I think mine will be alcohol induced. One eye tonight. I think it'll be
that too. Maybe
I'll be a few whiskeys deep by then, I'm sure. But but it should be good. Anybody got anything else to add before we wrap up?
I was just looking up the stats for Jake Moody. He didn't miss. Justin Tucker missed more field goals this season and more extra points than Jake Moody.
Okay.
Really? Wow. So
yeah, I mean, I think he's done statistically, pretty well, Jake Moody, considering.
We should.
Yeah, I mean, he missed like three kicks in this season. I mean, yeah, he missed three kicks. And they were one against the Vikings and wasn't two against the Browns?
Yeah, I think it was two. I say I've been overall pretty impressed with him. You know, he obviously had the yips when he came on during the preseason. He missed that one. It was like, oh my god, this is going to be terrible. And then when the regular season started, he was he was really good and didn't miss anything. Then he obviously had those two games where he missed, and then obviously had a chance to have like the game winning field goal and missed. And it's just that kind of pressure I'd like to see him under again, because. He's done again after those two games. He hasn't missed a kick, I don't think, since then. Touchwood have probably like completely ruined that now. But I'd just like to see him, get the experience of that pressure situation again, so that he's got some more experience to draw on, come the playoffs. Because you just never know, do you?
You don't. And to be fair, like you said, it would help
win the Super Bowl. Go. 2 seconds to go or whatever, he's got to kick the field goal. And the last thing he remembers is missing the one against the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to feel some pressure before the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl, anything can happen. If we get there, of course.
If we were to get there, obviously. Yeah.
Making sweeping assumptions. But I have got a question for you guys. So I read a stat this week. The 49ers had the highest graded player as per PFF in week 15. Would anybody care to hazard a guess who it was?
In this week?
This week. We had the player with the highest PFF grade this week.
On offense?
I'm not going to say whether it was on offense or defense. It was
Feliciano.
The highest graded
player. Feliciano, yeah.
It was John Feliciano, yeah.
The guy I wanted to be cut after the preseason. Yeah, I know. Because in the preseason he looked so bad, and he got better every week he played.
Well, he was a center for the Giants, wasn't he? And we've moved him to guard, and there's a little bit of a learning curve there. It's very, very similar. But
he played center in the preseason, and every time he played center in the preseason, he had a holding, he had a false start, and getting a false start as a center is pretty hard, I know, because I played center. And I was so sure he got cut. Then he got into the team, and he got better every week. He found his calling at guard, I think.
I think so as well.
I'll be interested to see what happens when Burford's fit again, whether they put him straight back in or not.
Yeah.
It was 93.5 PFF grade on Sunday, which is ridiculous. I'm not entirely sure what the differentials are to get that make up a PFF grade. But
did you see the PFF grade from Jake Brendel on Sunday?
No,
horrible.
Oh, really?
I'm looking it up. Just a second. It was like 30 or something.
Oh, really? Crikey.
30
is sign a big in. Monitor. Did he actually? Does that just mean he kind of walked onto the field and then walked off? He didn't do anything. That's awful.
Jake Brendel, 8.8 pass blocking grade.
Wow.
Jesus.
I have another question. If we win against the Ravens, a big if, and if we win against the Commanders, we would have the first seed secured. Would you rest players against the Rams and then the bye week, or would you say let them play against the Rams because we have the bye week?
I personally wouldn't rest them completely. I would just vastly reduce, equalize the snap count across the whole team. I just feel like if you were to take them out for 2 weeks, there's a little bit of conditioning. I just feel like there's something about stopping and with the bye week where they're going to get some rest anyway. I wouldn't, stop their involvement completely. And I know there's a risk of injury, but I would just, just reduce their count rather than rest them completely.
I would play them the first half and then put, like, Trent Williams and CMC on the bench.
Yeah, something like that. Rather play the first half.
I mean, Trent Williams doesn't need this game, honestly.
No.
I think he's...
Absolutely. I agree with you, Lucas. I'd give them the first half, I think, and then wrap McCaffrey and Trent Williams in particular up in cotton wool.
Yeah, and Bosa and
get Sam Darnold in.
I would be honest. I would let key players rest like McCaffrey. We need him during the playoffs. And I think he had a buttload of our offensive snaps. And give him the rest. I mean, especially at running back or offensive line, you get so pounded every game. That's why I would rest both Trent and McCaffrey in that game.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe Purdy. So Darnold gets his practice with the first offense in a game. I mean, yeah, if we win both games, it doesn't matter if we win against the Rams or not. And then give Darnold the game experience with the first offense over a whole game. So if something happens in the playoffs, we know we can rely on Darnold.
Yeah, and I don't want to put like Purdy in there when Trent Williams isn't protecting him in the last game. That would
be true enough. That's true. Yeah, the last thing you want is a weakened off his offensive line, and then something happened to Purdy. So I think that makes fine sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I start speaking German. you could do a double thing if you rest Purdy for that game against the Ram. You could give Allen the second quarterback for that game and give him some reps as well, which could help him develop as well. Only if we have the first seed secured, but
yeah.
I think it would help the team getting some reps in a live game instead of just a preseason game.
No, yeah, hopefully we don't need them anymore.
Yeah, hopefully we don't need, but the experience from last year.
Yeah, maybe we give Christian McCaffrey reps.
I mean, because Christian McCaffrey, I kept seeing him on the sideline when they went to him on the sun. He kept like holding his knee, and it was all a bit kind of concerning. That obviously just runs through it, and it's just obviously something he puts up with. But it obviously didn't look like he was like.
Well, did Purdy go down? Purdy and McCaffrey went down on consecutive plays, didn't they? Or am I getting two games completely mixed up? Did Purdy got a stinger on the shoulder, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bosa got, like, someone fell on the back of his ankle, didn't they?
Well, Bosa had ice on his knee. I don't know if you saw, there was a picture of, I think it was Fred Warner getting in the press box, and Bosa was sat there looking at him, but he had ice on his knee, so...
Yeah, I mean, that happens after 17 games. I mean, every other league, every other American football league in the world tries to get less games so the players have more rest. And the NFL even thinks about an 18th game now.
Yeah.
I think you can't do that if you don't put in two bye weeks per season. Well, because otherwise,
crazy. Otherwise,
you cripple your players.
Yeah,
and that's why I would give those players a rest. Yeah, it's dangerous getting out of the rhythm in the game, but I mean, for the player's sake, it would be the best giving them more than one bye week. Because after the Super Bowl, they have the rest. But if they get injured in the Rams game or so, we may see our Super Bowl window close.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think if, particularly if there's even remote injury concerns, just don't even bother risking it. You know, it's not worth it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, Lucas, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate your time with us. And by all means, please come back. We'd love to have you on again. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks,
Simon. If no one else has got anything to add, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Fröhliche Weihnachten. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas indeed, to you guys Merry as Christmas. Well. And Merry Christmas to all our listeners and all the fans and the odd members of the Niner Empire GB from all the team here. Merry Christmas. And let's hope the Niners give us something to celebrate on Christmas Day / Boxing Day. Eh?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I've been your host, Simon Holdsworth. And on behalf of Paul Marsh, Michael Wandre, and Lucas Pesendorfer, this has been the Frequency 49 Show. Go Niners.
Go Niners.